Back in the summer of 1980, there was only one word to describe the city of Miami: hot. The place was so hot. The grueling temperatures cooked the city by day and baked it at night. Everywhere, people's nerves were on edge because crime was rising. There were riots and looting and racial tensions. Everything was soaring. The temperatures, unemployment, the rise of inflation, everything was going wrong. And then all of a sudden, something happened that stopped everyone cold. It was the news that 38-year-old Judith Bucknell had been found stabbed and strangled. The Miami Herald broke the news, and everyone stood cold in their tracks wondering what had happened, because Judith was a beautiful woman, smart. She held a good job as an executive secretary. She made good money. She lived in the upper-class community of Coconut Grove overlooking the bay. She hosted lavish dinner parties in her home. Everyone thought of her as the woman who had it all. But after she died, they found her diary there in her nightstand and discovered the truth about Judith Bucknell. Deep down inside, she was a desperately lonely woman. In her diary, she wrote, "I see people together and I'm so jealous, I want to throw up. What about me? What about me? Who is going to love Judy Bucknell? I feel so old, unloved, unwanted, abandoned, used up. I want to cry and sleep forever." Judy Bucknell's body died on a steamy night in June of 1980. But I have to say that her heart died long before that. She died from a tragic case of loneliness. Loneliness is something, it is a cry that wells up from the deep recesses of the heart. It is a moan. It is a wail. It is a gasp of despair. It is something that aches in the heart of the college freshman who's so far away from home for the very first time. It is something that is felt in the heart of the elderly gentleman as he sighs and shuffles down the hallway in his nursing home. It is something that is felt deep in the heart of the widow as she rattles around that great big house all by herself, and in the heart of the little child whose daddy is going out the door for the last time and he'll never come home. It is something that shouts through the empty mailbox and the phone that refuses to ring. It is something that drives people living in cities and packing out the stadiums. It's something felt in the heart of people even in our churches who aren't quite sure if they are loved and accepted. They're not quite sure this is a safe place to be. Could be that deep down in your heart today, you are struggling with a desperate feeling of loneliness. And today I have good news for you. There is someone who understands. For you see, the greatest cry of desperate loneliness was never shouted from a prison cell or a hospital bed. It was never moaned from an empty dorm room or an empty house. It was shouted from a mountaintop, from Calvary's cross, from the heart of our Savior. For you see, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Through the ceaseless ages of eternity, the Son and the Father had always been together. They were together in filling heaven with beauty and wonder. They were together in taking a stand against the insidious introduction of sin. They were together in the creation of this world and the unfolding of the everlasting gospel. They were together as they moved through the incarnation, and day by day, Jesus and his Father would talk together in those quiet moments of meditation and prayer. They were together when, at the baptism, the Father split the skies wide open and shouted in delight, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And they were together again there in that affirmation shouted on the Mount of Transfiguration. The two had always been one. And now that Jesus hung dying on Calvary's cross, that oneness began to be split apart because he bore the burden of our sins. A darkness enveloped the mountaintop there as God the Father shaded his son's last agony, as the Father clothed the place in darkness to veil his presence. The Father was there all along, you can be sure of that. But Jesus didn't know it. He could not trace his Father's face through the murky darkness. He could not feel his presence. Perhaps there was a time years ago when you took your baby to the hospital. You took your baby to the emergency room in the middle of the night because she just couldn't quit crying. Something hurt so desperately. And you took your child and placed them in the hands of that doctor, that nurse. And what did they do? They carried her into the next room and said, "You stay here and wait." Through the doors, through the walls, you could hear that child scream. You could hear them cry. And you were there for them, but they didn't know it. They couldn't feel your presence. That is something of what Jesus must have felt there. In fact, so much more so as he hung on Calvary's cross. He felt forsaken by his Father. He felt forever abandoned. He was moving through hell. He was passing through the second death. He went where you and I deserve to go so that we would never have to be alone. So that we would never have to live in despair. So that we would never have to be apart from God. And today, our Savior who died for us and who lives for us comes to us and he offers to us a forever friendship. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I will be your constant friend. I will go with you step by step through life and I will take you to the heavenly places." Today, as we celebrate communion together, we are rejoicing in the fact that we have a forever friend who understands our hearts, who understands our needs, and promises to go through with us. As we separate in just a few minutes to wash each other's feet, we will enjoy fellowship and intimacy together as a church family. And then as we gather around this table, we will enjoy friendship and fellowship with our God above. This is a time of togetherness. This is a time to rejoice in the assurance that Jesus is ours and we belong to him. And there is a forever friendship there that can safely take us through. Join me in prayer, please. Oh God, how grateful we are for Jesus who bridges the gap, who promises to be with us always and to never abandon us. Thank you for that friendship. And today we celebrate and rejoice in that assurance. Be with us now and give us hearts full of hope and courage, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to separate. The gentlemen will be in the junior room, the ladies in the primary Sabbath school. And those of you who would like to participate as families can go to the multipurpose room, and then if you would make your way back into the sanctuary. Thank you.